Welcome to the Destiny Church Podcast. We just want to take a second to thank you for listening today. We hope today's message encourages you to find a closer walk with the Lord. Here at Destiny Church, you can find real, relevant relationships. Let's join in on the message together and hear a word from the Lord.
Today, we're going to talk about sanctification and holiness, and it's going to be a great evening, a great day today. And what you're going to learn about is something that I think, if we're not careful, it can be pushed to the background. I know maybe not for you, but like for me, if I'm not careful, like I can forget about it and tend to live this life, you know, without holiness. But God has called us to be holy. God desires us to be sanctified, right? Like all these different things. And so today we're going to talk about that. And I really believe that if you just pay attention, if you take some notes, there's going to be lots of scriptures this morning. So make sure you're writing down those scriptures and writing down the points that I have for you. But I really believe that if you can take all this in, then you'll leave here encouraged. Not only encouraged, but you'll leave here hopefully closer to God, because you'll find out later on, and we're going to talk about it, you'll find out later on that holiness is how we see God, and it's how we draw closer to him, okay? Without the holiness of God in our lives, it's impossible for us to have a relationship with him. And so this morning, we're going to talk about that. But before we do, I want to pray, and so I want you guys to bow your heads, close your eyes, and Father God, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for this opportunity. I thank you that we can come before you today. God, I thank you that you are here amongst us, that you want to change us. God, that you want to do something special in us this morning. God, that you want to let us know that you're not against us, that you're not opposed to us, Father. But God, you are with us. And Jesus, I pray that you would be with the New England Patriots tonight and let them dominate those tiny little pigeons, I mean eagles, in Jesus' name, amen. The Patriots have to be the Lord's team. I mean, come on now. Like, this is unbelievable. Who's ever done this? Not Joe Montana. He hasn't done this. Not, unfortunately, my boy Joe Flacco. Definitely not Jay Cutler, okay? So this is unbelievable. Tom Brady is the man in my book. Give me one second here. I'm going to make sure my notes are in order. I think they were out of order. But I'm good to go. All righty. I don't like iPads for preaching because I'm afraid that they'll die. And so I like to use the notes. And I think my system might have... No, it didn't fail me. We're good to go. Alrighty, so holiness, what is it, right? It's this big word. It seems like it's something that is crazy. You might not even think of anything. I know for me, sometimes when I hear the word holiness, I think of a times of revival, right? Was anybody here? We had Roy Fields come some years back, and he would sing that song. I always remember like Roy Fields' hair. And he'd always yell like a lion, oh, right? And he would sing that one song, in the presence of angels, with God's glory on their wings, right? I can hear the angels singing, holy, holy, holy. And it was such a good song, right? And sometimes I think of that. And then other times when I think of holiness, I grew up in an AME church. If you don't know what AME stands for, it's African Methodist Episcopal. I grew up in one of those churches up in Joliet, Illinois. And I remember we used to sing this song, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary, Lord, for you. And I would sing that song, and I didn't really know what it meant. I'm just a little guy, knee-high to a grasshopper, you know. And we would sing that song. And I think to myself, man, like, this is great. But I didn't really know what it meant. You know, maybe you sit here today, and you grew up in the church, right? And holiness to you was a list of moral do-gooding, right? Like, do-goodism. That's what it was. It was, don't do this. Don't have your hair like that. Don't wear those kind of clothes. Don't go there at this time of the day. Don't eat this on this day. Don't, right? You thought it was a list of things that you had to keep in order to be holy, right? And maybe you didn't grow up in the church, and the only time you heard the word holy was before a not-so-holy four-letter word, right? It was when your parents said it, when they got upset with you, you know, or you know, whatever. It was just a holy, woo, right? So, but whatever you think, wherever you're from, whatever the case is, that is, I'm going to clear it up for you this morning, okay? I'm going to tell you what holy means. Holiness. What we have to do in order to see what holy really means is I like to go, and this is this series is titled Your Year to Learn, okay? So what something I'm going to teach you a little something right here that I learned in Bible school, and that is when you want to learn what a word stands for, you want to find where it is the first time, okay? And so in order to see what holiness is, we're going to go look at the place where it shows up first, okay? And that's in Exodus chapter 3. All right, Exodus chapter 3 and verse 1. I'm going to read it in the New Living Translation because that's the easiest translation for me to understand things in. And because I teach your high schoolers, and so this is the simplest way for them to understand things. So it says in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian." So he was tending to these flock, okay? He was tending to the sheep, all right? And he said he led the flock far into the wilderness and came to Sinai, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the middle of a bush. Moses stared in amazement. Though the bush was engulfed in flames, it didn't burn up. "This is amazing," Moses said to himself. "Why isn't that bush burning up? I must go see it." When the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, God called to him from the middle of the bush. "Moses, Moses." "Here I am," Moses replied. "Do not come any closer," the Lord warned. "Take off your sandals, for you are standing on" what? "Holy ground. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." When Moses heard this, he covered his face because he was afraid to look at God. See, when it comes to holiness, it has to do with being set apart. It has to do with being sacred. It has to do with something that is unique to only one person. That person is God. Holiness is in and can only be found in God and God alone. See, this scripture right here, you know, when theologians, when they pull it out, they say sometimes people say, "Oh man, God is holy, and He made Moses take off his shoes because it's a sign of respect." You know, sometimes in Asian cultures, specifically a lot, they take their shoes off as a sign of respect before they enter into a home. I know about you guys, but I grew up in a time where, like, you know, I had to take my shoes off a lot of times before going in my grandma's house, you know? And it was a sign of respect. It was because she didn't want me to get her stuff dirty, and she didn't want my shoes on her table or on her furniture. She actually put plastic over all the furniture. You did not want to take a nap on that furniture because you'll wake up and you'll be sweating. Like, Lord Jesus, was that a nap or did I just sit in a sauna, right? But in a lot of times, this was a sign of respect. And so theologians a lot of times will say, hey, this Jesus was saying, take off your shoes as a sign of respect to come into my presence. And I think that is kind of true. But I think what was really happening here was not that Jesus was saying, hey, I want you to respect me, so take your shoes off. I think Jesus was showing us something about his nature and who he is. And that is, he can't take any junk. See, the bush was on fire. It was radiating with God's presence. That was a sign of his holiness, okay? And not only was the bush itself holy because God was in it, but the whole area around it was holy. And Moses, what did it say he had just got done doing? Tending to his father's flock, or to his father-in-law's flock. And so probably he might have had some stuff, some sheep doo-doo, on the bottom of his sandals, right? He might have been a little dirty. And because Jesus is so holy, Because he's so, because God is so pure, because he's so set apart, that not only was the bush holy and was it on fire for God, but the area around it. Another way to picture holiness is kind of like the sun. I'm not saying the sun is holy, okay? But I'm going to use it as an example right now just to help you guys understand a little better, right? The sun, we all know that it's unique. We all know that it's powerful. We all know that it's set apart. Why? Because nothing is too close to it. It has its own atmosphere. And in our solar system, the sun is unlike any other star, right? And so we know that if you get too close to the sun, if the earth was, you know, a mile closer to the sun or an inch closer to the sun, we'd all burn up. And if it was a little bit too far away, what would happen? We'd all freeze to death, right? We're at the perfect distance away from the sun. And as you get closer to the sun, what happens is that the atmosphere of it, the heat of it, the power of it, it will burn up whatever comes towards it. That's kind of like God, right? And that's kind of like his holiness. It not only has this core of power, this core of holiness, this core of just amazing goodness that we're in awe of, but the area around it is so affected by who God is so affected by how good he is, that even as we begin to come close to him, what do we have to do? We have to take the junk off of ourselves just to get near him. But there's a problem. You know what the problem is? The problem is we're bad. The problem is we aren't that good, you know? And so because of that, we can't come into God's presence, because he can't tolerate even just the slightest bit of impurity. It's like this water right here, right? If I open this water up, whoops. I open the water up, and I take a little drink. I said, David, you want a drink of this? Why not? I didn't backwash or anything. Here we go. You want some? Come take a drink, all right? I just backwash a little bit. No, I'm just kidding. No, drink it. Right? Most people, they're not going to. I really did backwash in that. You don't want to drink that. Most people, right? When they come upon a bottle of water, if it hasn't been opened, you'll do what? You'll drink it, right? Because there's an understanding that the water is pure, the water is clean, there's nothing bad in this water. But if I open the bottle of water and I take a drink out of it and I backwash in it, you're like, I don't know where your mouth's been. I don't know what kind of germs you got. Keep that away from me. Give me a clean bottle of water, right? That's God. God is so pure, he's so clean, he can't even take the slightest little bit of impurity. Not even the slightest bit. You might say, well, Miles, I come to church. Miles, I tithe. Miles, I go to Connect Group. Miles, I've been on Encounter. Miles, I teach Encounter. I do all the right things. Well, have you lied before? Oh, I mean, one time, but it was just a little lie. I mean, they asked me if I did my homework at home, and I said, yeah, but I didn't really do it at home. I did it on the bus. Well, it's a lie. We find it in the New Testament. It's so crazy that Jesus, he will strengthen the law. He'll take the law, and he says, you've heard it said that thou shouldn't commit adultery. He goes, but I say, if you even thought about a woman in your heart or in your mind with lust, you've already committed adultery. You've heard it said that thou shalt don't be angry or don't kill anybody. But I say, if you even get angry with your brother, then you've already murdered them. So he's strengthening the law. And why is he strengthening it? Because he wants us to have dependence on him and his sacrifice and what he's done. We can't work our way to God. We can't work our way to get more holy. We can't do all the right things in order to become holy. It's impossible for us to be holy. The Bible says we were born into sin. God can't tolerate sin. So from birth, we're already disqualified. So it's important for us to understand that we cannot be holy in and of ourselves. It's impossible for us to do the right things enough to become holy. You can't give enough. You can't attend church enough. You can't go to enough missions trips, right? It's impossible. And God understood that. He knew that. But he wants you to realize and know that that holiness starts with God and ends with God. He's the only holy one. Beside him, there is no other. In 1 Samuel 2, verse 2, it says, no one is holy like the Lord. There is no one besides you. There is no rock like our God. What's he saying? He's saying, I'm the only one that's holy. It begins and ends with God. So what do we do? Because we all know that the Bible says to be holy, right? Right? And if you don't, I'm going to read it to you. It's in Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 3. And this is important too because sometimes like, I thought that holiness was like a Old Testament, a New Testament like idea. But it's really an Old Testament idea. God has been calling us to be holy since the beginning of the Bible, since the beginning of time. And in Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 3, it says, you must be holy because I, the Lord your God, am holy. In 1 Peter 1, verse 13 through 16, it says, so prepare your minds for action and exercise self-control. Put all your hope in the gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. So you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know any better then. And verse 15 is where it's at in the New Testament. It says, but now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. For the scriptures say, you must be holy because I am holy. So how do we do that? How am I supposed to become holy when I'm already not holy? Like I can't redo this thing, you know? And on top of that, it's, if I'm honest, I could mess up from minute to minute, right? From moment to moment, from a fleeting thought to me getting upset at someone, to me being in traffic and calling the person that's driving like a crazy person, a name, like whatever, to not being a good husband sometimes. Like there's so many different ways and opportunities that I have to mess up. And so, God, how am I supposed to be holy? I know your word says for me to be holy. And I know that, God, you're not a vindictive God, and you haven't set me up for failure, right? You're not like, hey, be holy, and then you're watching me stumble and fail and laughing at me going, ha, 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 you can't be holy, right? Like, there's a way. He's given us a way. And it's simple. The Bible says that you have been saved, how? By grace, through faith, and not of works. That's important to understand, okay? That's very, very important to understand in this life of holiness and even in our Christian walk. Because we believe that we should live a life through grace, right? Like we believe that God has given us grace to do the things that he's called us to do. And so it's important to understand this divine, I call it the divine order. It's a divine order because if there's too much of any of these, you'll end up out of balance and living your life in the wrong way. And so grace, faith, works. Let's apply this to holiness. Grace. God knew that it would be impossible for us to ever become holy, so he showed us mercy and sent his son to be holy for us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, it says this. It says, for God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin so that we could be made right. What does that word right mean? That word right is the condition. It's the only condition that is acceptable to God. That's what it means to be righteous. That's what it means to be right in the sight of God. So it says, God made Christ, who never sinned, to be sin for me and for you, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. That's number one. Grace. God gave us grace. He said, because, listen, You guys, you can't do it. So I'm going to make a way. I'm going to send him who isn't sin to be sin for you so that you can be right in my eyes. That's a big deal. That's a huge deal. Like, that right there relieves the pressure valve of doing all the stuff. Because now, instead of saying, I have to work for this, I go, okay, God, there's grace, and God has made a way. What's that way? It's to be in Christ Jesus. It's to be clothed in Christ. Okay, that's number one. That's the grace. Faith. Our job in being holy hinges on faith and believing. That because we've put on Christ and are seen in him, we are holy and righteous because of what he's done, not because of what we do. In Galatians 3, chapter 11, it says, so it is clear that no one can be made right with God by trying to keep the law. For the scriptures say, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. In the Old Testament, in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, it says, in short, the just shall live by what? Faith. It's important for us to have the faith to know, okay, when I am in Christ, God doesn't see my junk, but he sees his son. See, it's so important because you have to understand something about sin. Sin separates us from God. Sin is missing the mark. Sin tarnishes our relationship with God. And so anytime we sin, I don't know about you guys, but there's been times where I've messed up and I've sinned, and what happens? I'm always apprehensive to come into the presence of God. I'm withdrawn. I'm kind of just like, oh, man, like, I shouldn't read my Bible because God's probably mad at me, or I shouldn't go to church because, you know, I don't have my stuff together. I don't have it all figured out. I can't, you know, do things right. And if I go in there, like, God's going to zap me. How many of you guys have ever heard, like, your unsaved friends to, oh, I don't go to church. If I went to church, I'd burst in flames. Right? Right? And it's like, no, because it's understandable. But the reality is we would all burst into flames. Right? And so we have to have faith in God's grace to understand that when we walk into his presence, when we come into this place, that we can be confident and we can be bold and we can understand that God isn't seeing me and my mess ups, but he's seeing his son. It's not faith in what you're doing, it's faith in what he's done. It's not faith in who you are, it's faith in who he is. Right? And out of that place of faith, what comes? Works. The Bible says that faith without works is dead. If you, oh, brother, I got faith that God's gonna help me lose these 100 pounds, and then you go eat McDonald's, that's probably not faith. Right? You can pray all day long, oh, Lord, dear Jesus, you know, turn this flab into muscle or whatever. You know, but if you're not going to the gym, if you're not walking, if you're not drinking enough water, if you're not putting vitamins in your body, if you're not working out, if you're not doing the things that are necessary, the work, you don't actually have faith. The Bible says it in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. I love this scripture. Dear friends, you always followed my instructions when I was with you. And now that I'm away, it's even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. He's working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. This isn't a lack of works, guys. I know a lot of times, you know, especially let me speak on behalf of myself and other millennials. And I went to a college, a Bible college in Seattle, Washington. So it's a little more liberal, right? And at the time, there's a big, I shouldn't say argument, but there's a big discussion between grace and works. And there's a discussion between we're all chosen by God and not only the certain elect are chosen by God. And in the midst of the conversation, I think if we get too sloppy, right, what happens is while we're preaching grace, people go, oh, man, it's all grace, man, and it's okay, and God will forgive you. No, that's sloppy grace, right? That's sloppy. There's works to be done. God has called us to put our hands to the plow. God has called us to go out and make disciples of all nations. He didn't say sit on your butts and wallow in the grace of God, right? He didn't say sit back and say, oh, man, somebody else will do it. They'll get it done. Right? That might be true, but that's not the gospel that God has called us to. He says, no, work it out because I put it in you. It says it right there. It says, for God is working in you, giving the desire and the power to do what pleases him. We work it out because he put it in us. We work it out because he worked it in. And you might be here, you might be saying, well, how can I do this? How can I do this? Just trust in him. It's grace, it's faith, and then it's works. The grace, it's a seed. Your faith is the water, right? And that's the water that's going to grow that seed into a tree of life. But unless you pour some faith onto that grace and say, okay, God, like, here, I'm believing that I'm holy. I'm believing that I'm sanctified and set aside for your good works. Unless you can really, really say, God, I'm going to act this out, it's a waste. And if you work it out, if you get out of order and you say, you know what, I'm gonna do this myself. I can be holy. Watch me. I can do the right things. Right? And it's like every time you try and do something right, like God sends that one person your way that can, like, push your buttons and make you upset, right? Every single time, you're like, God, I'm going to be good today, Jesus. I'm not going to cuss today, Jesus. I promise. And what happens? As soon as you get to work, you're like, dang, can you give me a second, you know? Or some of us, you know, if you got kids, you can't even leave the house. The kids acting crazy. Oh, Mom, I just, Mom, can I sleep for a little bit longer, please? Like, no, get up and go. You got to get to school, right? Making excuses. Oh, I didn't get my homework done. Oh, you know, whatever. And you're like, oh, you're killing me. I'm going to be good today, Jesus. I'm going to be good. You finally get out the house and now they done messed up your coffee order. And you're like, all I wanted was an iced mocha choca skinny vanilla latte. How hard is that to do? This is you got one job, Starbucks. You got one job. But I'm going to be good today, Jesus. I'm not going to cuss. I'm not going to cuss, right? And before you know it, you're at work. Somebody's saying some crazy stuff for you. Maybe you're good. Maybe you make it all the way home. If you make it all the way home and then just boom, and you're like, oh, and you just let it flow, you couldn't hold it back anymore. and then you go to sleep, and Jesus, I was kind of good today, right? That counts, don't it? No, it doesn't count. You were not holy. But in him, you can be holy. It's so, I think about it, and I'm like, God, thank you so much. Because I don't have to work to do this anymore, like, on my own, right? I remember a long time ago, you guys know who Justin Timberlake is? You guys are all unholy. I'm just kidding. Justin Timberlake, he used to sing a song. And as long as I got my suit and tie. He sang a song called Suit and Tie. And a while back, I remember preaching to the students about that song. You know, I just used it as a title. And was saying, hey, put on your suit and tie. As long as you got your suit and tie, as long as you're clothed in Jesus, everything's going to be all right. And that's how holiness is. As long as we're clothed in Jesus, as long as we have him on, it's okay. We can be confident that God doesn't see us, but he sees his son. And that allows us to come close to him. We don't have to hang our head anymore and just, oh, Jesus, should I come to church today because I messed up last week? And I said I wasn't going to do that, but I did it. I said I wasn't going to go there, but I went. Right? I said I wasn't going to eat that or say that or think that, but I did it. We've all done it. We've all been there. We all do it, right? But when we clothe ourselves in Jesus, when we clothe ourselves in his sacrifice, what happens is God no longer sees us. He goes, oh, that's my son. Oh, that's my daughter. I'm so pleased with them. And the sooner we can get that revelation, the better our relationship will be. Because that's what this all boils down to, guys, is relationship. See, we can't have relationship with God until we realize that we can actually come close to him. Remember, sin separates us. We all sin. And so if we think about what we've done, we go, I don't want to get close to that guy because he's so holy. He's so right. But see, God sent him that knew no sin to be sin for us so that we could be seen right and acceptable and pleasing to God. And so now when we come before him, guess what happens? He goes, oh, that's my son. It's my daughter. I'm so happy. Come on over here. Let's hang out. Let's talk. And you're like, hey, it's like the prodigal son. He's like, I know what I'm going to say. I know what I'm going to do. I wrote it all down. I've prepared the statement of how bad I am and how much I've messed up. And he comes to God, or he comes to his father, and his father gives him a big hug. And he's like, hold on, I need to tell you something. And his father's like, no, it's okay. You're my son. And that's how it is. And when we live out that, or when we can get the revelation of that holiness, what happens is our lives begin to change. And not only do our lives begin to change, but our minds begin to change. And that's the biggest thing in this whole walk of holiness and being like Jesus and being holy because he is holy. The biggest thing we have to combat is our minds. Because guess what? Everywhere we go, there we are. I know what I think. Thank God you guys don't know what I think. And thank God I don't know what you guys think, right? We know what we think. And so we have to get our minds renewed and transformed by God's holiness. And as we go, oh, man, like, I don't have to think those thoughts anymore. I don't have to be that way anymore, right? Holiness to me is saying, okay, God, that's not who I am. He that be in Christ is a new creation. Old things are gone, and everything has become new. And so when I have a fleeting thought, guess what I say? I'm a man of God. That's not who I am. I don't think those things. When I have the desire to get mad at somebody, I say, no, I'm not going to get mad. I'm going to show them grace. I'm going to show them love. I'm going to show them acceptance, right? Not because of myself, but because of Jesus in me, because I'm a new creation. I used to think for such a long time that any time, like, there was some sort of temptation that, like, the devil was twisting my arm and I had to succumb and be like, no, I have to do it, right? No, but the Bible says that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And so when there's a temptation, I don't have to succumb to it because I'm holy, because I'm a man of God, because I have faith inside of me, because the grace that God's given me the revelation of. And grace manifests itself in works. And so I don't have to do anything. You have the power, you have the ability to say, okay, I'm going to overcome the things of this world because God has overcome in me. The Bible says the same power that raised Christ from the dead lives inside of each and every single one of us. Amen. The same power that rose Jesus from the dead lives inside of you and me. And you don't have to go through the whole live, connect, grow, and go process before that happens. You don't have to attend a 12-step thing and get all the coins and the badges before you can get that power. No, it's there. And all we have to do is get our minds to be renewed and transformed, And then we go, I'm going to live this thing out. And I understand some of you, you might say, well, I don't know how to get that power. I don't know how to get that faith, right? Because we talked about faith and how important it is to being holy as Christ has called us to be holy. And you might be a new believer and you might say, oh, well, how do I get that faith? Right? It's simple. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes from the Word of God. The Word of God right there in that scripture, it's actually the spoken Word of God, right? And I know I teach high school and junior high, as my wife and I do, and they're always like, how do I hear the voice of God, right? And I think that's a question that all of us have. How do I hear the voice of God? Well, let me tell you something. It's very simple. In order to know what he's saying, you have to see what he said. And the way we see what he said is looking to his word, right? Because he's not going to say anything that's inconsistent with what he's already said, right? And so we have to be able to know his word, be a student of the Bible, to study, to show ourselves approved. And once we get enough of the word inside of us, once we can allow the word to wash over our minds and wash over our hearts enough, now what happens is we don't think those bad thoughts. All right? And when we do, we have something to replace it with. But we can understand, I'm holy. I'm a child of God. I'm a son of the Most High King. I don't have to put up with junk anymore. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not below. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. When God sees me, he doesn't see my junk. He's happy with me. He smiles at me. All those revelations come from understanding the word of God. Come from reading your word. And when you can do that, you will start and begin to get on the road to becoming like God, to being holy. Sanctified, the word sanctified, is set apart for holy use, right? To be set apart to be used by God. Sanctification, it's a process, but it happens through renewing our mind, through the steps I mentioned before of grace and faith and works. It's saying, God, okay, here I am. I'm giving you this time. I'm giving you my life, every part of me, because I want to be used by you. And when we set ourselves aside to be used by God, he goes, oh, I can do something with that. The Bible says to take off, to strip off every weight that so easily entangles us. Set aside every weight, every sin that so easily trips you up, so we can run the race of endurance that Christ has set before us. That's what our job is. For no other reason than to be in relationship with Jesus. It's to be in relationship with him. Because without holiness, just like we said at the beginning, without holiness, we can't approach God because we're all messed up. But he's made a way. And that way is through holiness. Just like Moses, the story we talked about at the beginning. He said, take your sandals off, for the place where you're standing is holy ground. Some of us are here today and we got some things we need to take off. All right? And that's fine. We can take those things off and we can put on Christ. But if we truly, truly, truly want to be in relationship with Jesus and come close to him and allow him to touch us and allow him to be with us, then we got to set aside those things. We got to say, God, I'm putting you on. I'm not going to try my hardest anymore. I'm not going to keep trying to do what's right, right? I'm going to do what's right, but I'm not going to try. It's just going to flow out of who I am. And from that, we can boldly come before the throne of Jesus. It kind of, you know, holiness is kind of like the relationship, you know, my wife and I have. It's kind of like a marriage relationship, right? How so? See, when my wife and I, when we were dating, you know, we had a relationship, right? But it was only on a smaller level. You know, like we would go places and hang out and, you know, go watch movies and go on dates and do things, you know, dating couples do. We would share, you know, things with each other, but it was never really deep. You know, it was not surface, but not like the deepest, darkest places of our heart, right? Because you have to protect your heart. So there was some level of relationship there, but it wasn't like a full-on deep relationship. But then I got down on one knee and I said, "Will you marry me?" And she laughed and forgot that she had to say yes. And then finally she said yes. And I said, "Whew, thank you, Jesus." That would have been bad, right? But she said yes. And so then we came into to a deeper level of relationship. And on the day of our wedding, we stood before God and many witnesses. And what did we do? We said vows. What kind of vows? Sacred vows that are only said between each other. And now, guess what our marriage is? It's holy. It's set apart. The relationship that I have with her, I don't have with anybody else. The things that I have, or the things that I tell her, I don't tell anybody else. The way that I am with her, I'm not with anybody else. That's holiness. That's a picture of holiness. To be set aside by God, to be set aside for God, to be apart. And it's relationship. We couldn't have the marriage relationship. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Now you're good.
These are some really big truth bombs that you're getting. I don't know if you're getting the significance of all of this, but that last one just really, really meant a lot to me, because you got to understand, you're either married or you're not. And the example you used about Moses taking his shoes off, your shoes are either on or they're off. And circumcision in the Old Testament, you were either circumcised or you weren't. The doctor didn't stop halfway. And in the New Testament, we have a circumcised heart. Your heart is either circumcised or it's not. So you're either holy or you're not. You're either in Christ or you're not. It's not that you become more married. The day a child is born, they're a human. Well, they're human preconception. They're human. They're no more a human when they're 10 than they were when they were 5. What's happened? They've grown up. They've matured. They don't do some of the baby things they used to do. I'm married 34 years. There's some baby things I don't do anymore in my marriage. How long have you been married?
Almost 3 years.
Almost 3 years. Praise the Lord. You know? It's not that he's more married. It's that he's figuring out what this relationship is all about and the things that makes his wife happy or doesn't make his wife happy. And this is how it is with holiness. You're either in or you're not. Your heart is circumcised or it's not. To the degree that you believe it by grace through faith, you're holy. You're absolutely holy. The king found you as a street urchin, muddy and dirty, and put a robe on you, and instantly you became a child of the king. Now, you may be figuring out what that means and how you're supposed to live your life now with that robe on, because you go to some places that aren't holy and that crowd looks at you and they know you're wearing a robe of righteousness and they're saying, "Why are you here? Why are you doing that? You ain't supposed to be doing that. You got that robe of righteousness on you." They know. And it's for us to figure out. So that illustration, I just had to come up and jump on it, man. Sorry.
It's all good. That's good. Dana, you're out. And so with that relationship, right, like my wife and I, it's set aside. We are away with each other that no, we are with no one else. I refuse to be, right, because it's a holy relationship. And so with God, it's the same way. You say, "I'm going to take that off. I'm going to put away childish things. And I'm going to be holy because it's what you've called me to." And I think the cool part about it is this holiness has an impact on the world. And I'm going to land the plane so you guys can come on back up. This holiness has an impact on the world in that you know, in the Old Testament, when you had to be ceremonially clean in the Old Testament in order to be seen as holy. Right? So if I messed up, if I touched a leper, somebody that was unclean, what would I have to do? I'd have to go and make a sacrifice for what I had just done so I could be seen as holy again. So an Old Testament mindset is, don't touch anything, because if I touch anything, then what's going to happen is I'm going to become unclean. I'm going to become unholy. But then we step over into the New Testament, and now we are holy. Jesus came. He became a sacrifice. He was doing things that he shouldn't have done according to Old Testament structures and beliefs. Because what was he doing? He was touching lepers. But because he was holy, what happened? He didn't get dirty. They got clean.
You've been listening to the Destiny Church Podcast. Our prayer is that today you were encouraged by the word that you heard from the Lord. If you have any questions or would like prayer, please connect with us at destiny217.org. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as well, where you can find all of our events and things happening around the church. Thank you for listening to the Destiny Church Podcast, where you can find real, relevant relationships.